Hallelujah. I appreciate you sharing your heart and your songs. It's a blessing. And I believe you have some CDs out yonder. If folks would like to get some of those, you may. I'm going to look into those. Look in your Bible with me tonight, Psalm 78. I'd like to kind of finish what I started Wednesday night. We looked at verses 1 through 8, and we're seeing the situation in the past of Israel, and it's applicable to our experience today with people who should know better have wandered off from the truth. And I don't want to repeat everything that I said Wednesday, but I noticed that one little part about verses 3, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. You know, we ought to be able to pass it on to the next generation. And we ought to pass on to our children. Verse 4 says, we'll not hide from them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. You see, God's working in the world. He has worked in the past, and he can work today if we'll let him. Problem is, so many people have wandered from his promises and missed the opportunity that they have. The thing that bothers my heart, and I'm sure some of you that are older than I, you can look back and remember the way things used to be and see the way things are today and wonder, how did we get to the place today? How did we lose those values that used to make a difference in the world? This morning, before the Sunday school hour began, some were discussing the different attitude toward Christianity, the different attitude toward the things of God in the past. Dave was saying when he remembers as a younger man, people had a little respect for church and respect for Christians. Today it seems the opposite. There's a disdain and a mockery against us. And I wonder how we got to this place, and I think some of it is described here in this chapter 78, that we have to remind over and over generations to come what God has done and what he wants to do, because you see, every generation needs to receive Christ individually. You cannot be born into the family of God as grandchildren. You have to be born again individually. So often folks have received the blessing of a Christian heritage from their family, even as our brother mentioned his family. And that's good, as long as you get saved yourself and go on the next step and pass it on. But because so many just accepted the blessing and lived under the shadow of the past and enjoyed the fruits that were provided there, they missed the opportunity. And verse number 8 talks about the warning as it begins. It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. You know, the generation that lived under Joshua and the elders that overlived Joshua served the Lord. But then you read the book of the Judges and they returned to false ideas and backslid, and God judged them over and over, 7 times up and down in the Judges. And it seems that's what we experience today. Verse 9 continues this explanation. The children of Ephraim, being armed, carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forget his works and his wonders he had showed them. Here, a reference to the past of Israel, part of the children of God, the children of Ephraim, one of the nation, the tribes there, were prepared physically. They had the training. They had the armaments. They were ready to go. They decided, we're not going. We're going back. What a picture of so many professing Christians that had the heritage from their youth, had been taught the word of God, had the word of God in their hand, and been prepared, but said, you know, I'm tired of fighting the battle. I don't want to go anymore. I'm going to go back home. I'm going to rest. You know, it's good to have relaxation to a point, but it's a sin to be at ease in Zion when we ought to be on the battlefield for the Lord. It's a waste of opportunity for the Lord. And you notice here, they refused to do what God had told them. They forgot what he'd done. verse 12 reminds us some of those marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers. In the land of Egypt, the field of Zoan, he divided the sea, caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness. He gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God and said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, the waters gushed out, and streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Can you imagine? They had seen the hand of God such marvelous ways, as I very quickly read over in those verses. He had given them victory over the greatest military power of the day, Egypt. He'd opened the waters, a miracle, and they walked over on dry ground, and the Egyptians, trying to do so, died and perished and drowned to death in that awful, destructive hand of God. And yet, they didn't believe the Lord. Can you imagine that? But what about us? We who have seen God provide for us many times in the past, and now we come to the next step of our journey and we say, can God take care of us in this wicked time? Are we able to continue to serve the Lord when governments and judges and nations' opinions are going against what the Bible says? And they're telling us to keep your religion busy taking care of the poor and the needy, and don't talk about what the Bible says about right and wrong or about husbands and wives and men and women. You know, it's an awful time when we have people in high places telling God to shut up. But that's what they're doing. And we need to stand strong for the Lord. We've seen his hand before, you see, but he said they provoked God in the wilderness by asking for more than he'd provided. You know, that's another thing we as Christians ought to be careful about. When we come to the Lord in our prayers and our desires, and he's given us so much, instead of saying, thank you, Lord, we say, well, I need more. I want this. I want that. That's old-fashioned. I need a new one. I need more. I need more. I need more. I want flesh. This bread, that's not enough. It's angel's food. But that wasn't good enough for them. They wanted what they had before in Egypt. You see, they were lusting in their heart for the world rather than the Lord. And you know, it's a great promise we have that God is ready and willing and desires to supply our need. And he has all power in heaven and earth, and he can do anything he chooses to do. But we ought to be thankful. I'm always convicted by that scripture in Romans chapter 1. They who knew God glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. They became fools and worshiped the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forevermore. And God gave them up. I wonder, have we come to the place in our world today that some nations have been given up because they turned from God? Has there ever been a nation in your reading of history so blessed as America, the United States? Made a nation out of nothing in a short 200 and some years, went from a wilderness to a world leader, now to a world debtor. Soon, if the Chinese have their way, they'll take over the currency wars and they'll put us in our place economically. Will we continue to trust the Lord in the midst of that trouble when we start receiving more of what we deserve because of the choices our nation has made? I always read that part in the Old Testament when God pronounced judgment upon the nation of Israel, and Josiah's generation repented, and the Lord said, because you had a humble heart and you cried out, I'll postpone it. But I'll not remove the judgment because of all the innocent blood shed in the streets of Jerusalem by Manasseh. That was the grandfather of Josiah. There's a judgment coming to America for innocent blood, just in abortions alone, and all the other wicked things that we have allowed legally that are contrary to the Word of God. It's an awful thing. Because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation, though He had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow into heaven, and by His power He brought the south wind and rained flesh also upon them as dust and feathered fowls as the sand of the sea. And they let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitation. So they did eat and were well filled, and He gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this, they sinned still and believed not His wondrous works. Therefore, their days did He consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. When He slew them, then they sought Him. They returned and inquired early after God, and they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter Him with their mouth, and they lied unto Him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in this covenant. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, destroyed them not, yea, many a time returned He His anger away, for He did not stir up His wrath, but remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke Him in the wilderness and grieve Him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not His hand, nor the day when He delivered them from the enemy, how He had wrought His signs in Egypt and His wonders in the field of Zoan, and had turned their rivers into blood and their floods they could not drink. He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. He gave also the increase unto the caterpillar, and their labor unto the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail, and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to the hail, and their flocks to the thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of His anger and wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. He made a way to His anger, spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence and smote all the firstborn in Egypt, in the chief of their strength, in the tabernacles of Ham, but made His own people to go forth like sheep, guided them in the wilderness like a flock, and led them on safely, so they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And He brought them to the border of the sanctuary, even to this mountain, which His right hand had purchased. And He cast out the heathen also before them, divided them an inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God, and kept not His testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers, and were turned aside like a deceitful bow. For they provoked Him to anger with their high places, and moved Him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, He was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel, so that He forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which He had placed among men, and delivered His strength unto captivity and His glory to the enemy's hand. He gave His people over also unto the sword, and was wroth with His inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given in marriage. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep, as like a mighty man that shouteth for reason of wine, and He smote His enemies in the hinder parts. He put them to perpetual reproach. Moreover, He refused the tabernacle of Joseph, and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but He chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which He loved, and He built His sanctuary like the high places, and the earth which He established forever. He chose David also, His servant, and took him from the sheepcote, from following the ewes, great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Now, I read all that to emphasize in the midst of our failure, God is faithful. That's my hope. It discourages me to see the trouble on every hand and the wandering away many professed believers into worldliness and self-satisfaction, missing the great opportunities to serve the Lord. But I know there's still hope if we'll look to Him. He'll not give up on us. You know, some people have asked, can you sin away your day of grace? Is it too late? I've heard people say, preacher, you don't know me and what I've done. God can't forgive me. Oh, you know, I'm wrong. You're wrong, friend. God can if you'll ask. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who cannot be saved? Whoever won't. And we can trust Him. You say, but I failed many times to serve Him. I haven't kept the covenant that I should have. I knew better and I still wandered off. Every one of us, if we're honest, have to say, yeah, that's me. Maybe we didn't all fall the same way, but we've all come short of the glory of God. And if any man say he has no sin, he's a liar and the truth's not in him. We're all in need of salvation. And we all need cleansing. And I close by reminding you of the experience of the Lord with his disciples as he came to a time when he said he would wash their feet. And Peter said, not me, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. He thought that wasn't right for the Lord to do such a humbling thing. And he said, well, if I don't wash your feet, you have nothing to do with me. And then Peter, in his normal braggadocious way, well, not my feet only, but also my whole body. And the Lord said, he that's washed, he's not to wash again, but his feet. Say, what's he talking about? He's talking about if you've had your bath and you've changed your clothes and you walked to the meeting, your feet got dirty on the way. If you've been saved, you don't need to be saved again. You've been washed in the blood of the Lord forever. But you might have got your feet dirty walking this world. You may have messed up and you need to cleanse your life experience. And we need to ask the Lord, is there any sin between my soul and the Savior? Is there anything for which I need to say, Lord, I failed, I've sinned? And the Lord said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what we need. And that's where the beginning of repentance and revival is, seeing ourselves as God sees us, and then responding to his grace and love and mercy as the Bible instructs us. Come to him. Call upon the Lord, and he will answer thee, show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Is there anything too hard for God? No. But is there anything he won't do? What he said he won't do. It's his choice. But he said he would do. He'd hear us if we call on him. Oh, I challenge you tonight. Ask before the Lord in your heart, am I right with thee? Is there any sin that's blocking my service for thee? Is anything I'm holding back, Lord? Show me. And then help me, Holy Spirit, to say, I was wrong, Lord. Confess your sin. Receive that forgiveness and cleansing and go on with the power of God to serve him. Stand with me as we have our invitation.